Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Hello, everybody. On the day after the 50th anniversary of the March on Washington, on a day when your local fast food workers might be on strike. A connection? Listen to President Obama from his Lincoln Memorial speech yesterday.
The men and women who gathered 50 years ago were not there in search of some abstract idea. They were there seeking jobs as well as justice. Not just the absence of oppression, but the presence of economic opportunity.
The president yesterday, fast food workers and others are striking today to draw attention to conditions and poverty wages in so many service industry jobs. Michael Fletcher of The Washington Post has been covering this movement. Michael, welcome to WNYC.
Good to be here.
And we're also joined by Mark Dusard, professor of at the University of Illinois, whose new book, Degraded Work, examines life at the bottom of the labor market and argues that service industry jobs can play a role in restoring the middle class. Professor Dusard, thank you very much for joining us.
It's good to be here. Good morning.
And listeners, if any of you are in the fast food industry, we want you to chime in on the phones. Anybody striking today happen to be listening right now, or other sectors of low-paying service industries? 212-433-WNYC if you are on strike or just personally affected. 212-433-WNYC. And for that matter, any customers, any of you just out and about, seeing any signs of this strike actually taking place? Is it happening in New York, New Jersey, Connecticut right now? 212-433-WNYC. Are there picketers in front of your neighborhood McDonald's or anything like that? 212-433-9692. Call us in and let's crowdsource the impact. Michael Fletcher, what's the status of these strikes as far as you know? How many cities are involved? Can we tell here at 10:08 in the morning if they're pulling this off?
Well, I can't tell, but I do know that it was advertised that 50 cities or so would be involved and thousands of workers would be taking part in these one-day walkouts. And it's interesting, this whole movement, this idea of these one-day strikes sort of began in New York City back in November, and it's picked up momentum, you know, as we've gone through the months, almost a year now, you know, the better part of a year, more and more cities are on board. And I think it speaks to the issue that resonates with so many workers, the idea of, low-wage work. People sometimes, I think, look at a fast food job and think, well, of course it's low-wage, but without thinking the other way around, saying, well, why is it paying so poorly? Why is it that the workers can't get regular hours and that sort of thing? It's a huge, huge industry. It's a fast-growing segment of our labor market, and these workers seem to be demanding their fair share.
So what we keep hearing in the headlines about demanding their fair share is that they're calling for a wage of $15 an hour, which would be about double the federal minimum wage, plus the right to form a union. Do you think it's about more than that? It's about working conditions? It's about, you mentioned something about changing schedules?
Yeah, I think it's about essentially dignity on the job and the idea of being treated with respect, having some kind of predictability to the job. So often these jobs, you know, from my conversations with workers at least, are totally unpredictable. You know, people might get 35 hours one week and 25 the next, and already they're making these wages that, you know, on average are, you know, below $10 an hour. And many of these people are not teenagers. You know, we sometimes, I think of fast food workers as, you know, high schoolers, you know, out to make a few bucks so they can go to the movies and hang out with their friends. But many, many people in these jobs are supporting families or trying to support families through this kind of work. So I think on top of the wage, which I think even every worker I've talked to kind of says this $15 an hour thing is kind of a long-range goal. But I think more immediately they're looking for some kind of wage increase, but also some respect, and they want to be treated, quote unquote, like real workers, not just afterthoughts.
Professor Dusard, we'll get to you in a minute, but I want to take a call from Peter in Huntington, who says he's about to start up a franchise of some kind, and this is very relevant to him. Peter, thank you so much for calling in. You're on WNYC.
Good morning, Brian. This is an extremely interesting topic. We're about to bring a franchise to New York. It's a food franchise. And I can tell you, margins in this business are extremely, extremely tight. So the thought process of essentially doubling what would be our cost for employees, it's a very simple process. Either you can't sustain the business because the margins are too low and you just can't survive, or you're going to hire half the number of people. So there's a flip side to this, which is nobody's forcing these people to work in that environment, but they're just the profitability is just not there. If you double this cost, just you just can't survive in the business.
Do you think, as a franchisee, about the social contract, so that if there's a minimum wage in this country that is so low that people who work full-time qualify for food stamps, get other things that the taxpayer has to subsidize the employer for, in effect, that even if you do have to hire fewer workers, that it's just not a fair social contract with people who are working full-time in America?
Well, I think that's a great question, but the other side of that social contract is there's no government entity that's handing us the $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 it takes to develop each site. So that's our hard-earned money and capital that goes into providing this opportunity for them to have any job, much less a job at a salary level that unfortunately is unsustainable in the business. Now maybe you can operate the business with half the number of employees and perhaps extend their business hours. Let's not introduce Obamacare into this. That may be another problem for us. But having said that, the flip side of this, again, is that it's quite a bit of capital, quite a bit of sweat equity that goes into starting a business like this and just deciding that somebody should get double the pay because that's what somebody else thinks doesn't really wash out at the end of the day. If you can't turn a profit, you can't make money. It's unviable, then nobody works.
Let me ask you one more question, Peter, as a franchisee about to start up. Could you take it out of your customers' hides in terms of what you charge for your food if the workers' salaries – I don't know if you're paying minimum wage, but let's assume minimum wage, and let's say that was to go up by 50%. Could you take it out of your customers' pockets by charging more?
There's an interesting dichotomy there because in the franchise particular world, those rates are set – by the ultimate franchise company, what you can charge and what you can't charge. It really would have to be a rising tide would either float all ships and everybody in every marketplace, including the private delis and so on and so forth, would have to do that because, again, the law of unintended consequences is if I charge more but the guy next to me doesn't, I'm out of business. Mm-hmm.
Peter, I really appreciate you chiming in. Call us again.
Thank you.
And good luck with your business. So, Professor Dusard, author of the book Degraded Work, there's the other side of the story from what the workers are introducing, and there's a franchisee's point of view. Where do you enter this conversation?
I think there's a few important things to say about that, and he expresses a pretty heartfelt sentiments, clearly, as a franchisee. I think one of the most striking things about the fast food worker strikes, though, is that they go directly to that last question he raised of essentially raising the floor for everybody. This is a movement, if you would, that's, I think, distinguished by trying to build something larger than any one workplace. At the level of individual workplaces, he might be right. There might be some kind of marginal law of unintended consequences. Although you'd also want to point out that better paid workers quit less often and you have diminished hiring and firing costs, they're more productive, and that the capacity to for entrepreneurs and franchisees to innovate and find a way to make up for a few more pennies on the dollar is pretty high. But most striking is that this movement does go to that exact issue. It's a recognition that you can't organize an industry or the low-wage labor market, which is made up of a bunch of tiny workplaces, one workplace at a time, and it's an attempt to do it more broadly.
Lori in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Lori.
Hi. I was a home health aide for 7 years, and I'm now a visiting nurse, and I supervise home health aides. And, I have to say, I unfortunately see a lot of disrespect for the very hard work that the home health aides do. unfortunately, even among my own colleagues, that, you know, we don't schedule their time respectfully so that they're able to support their families. And for example, having a live-in home health aide who's not paid for the 12 hours that they're working during the night, I feel is very disrespectful, and that nobody can support a family on the wages that they're given. And when the home health aides went on strike about 4 years ago, they were given the right to overtime pay for work over 40 hours. And what that led to is that now they don't work over 40 hours. The agencies schedule them so that one person is on for 3 days and another person is on for 4 days, so that nobody is working over 40 hours.
And is that bad for the workers, or is that bad for the patients because they have to have more different people taking care of them? What's the impact of that, in your opinion?
It's sometimes bad for the patients. For example, with a 12-hour shift, yes, they would have three different people during the week instead of two. And it's also bad for the workers because, for example, you know, they're working Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday at one job, and then they have to try to go get another job with another agency to work the other 2 days a week.
Lori, thank you so much for your call. And you call us again. And Michael Fletcher from The Washington Post, we've heard the point of view of somebody who's been a home health aide. We've heard the point of view of somebody who's starting up a fast food franchise. Can these interests of employers, employees be reconciled?
I think you'd have to bring a third entity, kind of the corporate entity, you know, the McDonald's Corporation or Burger King, you know, the people who the franchisee is dealing with. I think they're the kind of the key to this equation. I mean, there may have to be some changes in franchise fees, or and maybe somehow the executive compensation that corporations feel, you know, their top executives are entitled to. Maybe that equation has to be changed to kind of bring more money into the pot. I mean, I've talked to other franchisees who say the same thing, that the margins are very, very tight. And you see the same thing in retail where, you know, workers that you know, complain about low pay, but then stores will tell you that they're not making, you know, they're making, you know, pennies on the dollar. And, you know, everyone's in competition for low prices or what have you. It feels like there has to be, something has to give somewhere, and you probably have to look where most of the money is flowing for that give.
Denise in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hi, Denise.
Hi, good morning, Brian. I'm a first-time caller. I would like to comment. I sympathize with the food service workers, people. I just think they're not being taken seriously. And if I'm in the cleaning business, so I really sympathize with them. There's no way you can make ends meet on $7.25. I think McDonald's don't appreciate their people. And if they strike today, they should continue to do so until they get taken seriously. That's for all service people, cleaning people, delivery people, all those kinds of people makes New York City run every day. And they are not being taken seriously.
Would you make the trade-off of fewer jobs that pay better, if that's what it comes to, rather than the number of jobs we have today that pay worse?
Fewer jobs, quality jobs that could pay people decent wages, because in New York City, rent goes up and people's wages don't go up. They cannot maintain their standard of living if they don't get paid enough. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And there will be loyalty to McDonald's and whatever restaurants they are. If you pay your people decently, they will be loyal and they will work more. And they will provide an essential service that will attract more customers. People eat at McDonald's every day, but they don't realize how those workers work. They don't realize that. And if they pay more attention to that, I think they will not go to McDonald's. They will support McDonald's more if they pay their people better.
Denise, thank you so much for your call. We really appreciate it. Professor Dussard, is that a real choice or a false choice? That it's about more jobs for better wages or fewer jobs for better wages or more jobs for minimum wage?
Oh, I think it's a false choice. You know, we're taught, I think a lot of us have the models maybe from our freshman year economics course in our head that say there's a trade-off between price and quantity. But people who look at this seriously know there's all kinds of other things that enter into the equation. As I mentioned before, workers are more productive when they're paid better, which I think is a pretty straightforward point. But food service and consumption industries are expanding massively. And, you know, the fact is I understand that margins are low, and yet people still find it worthwhile to cough up $500,000 to start a franchise. So they would seem to be fairly good options in the scheme of things. There's other simple points you can make as well. You know, wages are only a small part of the total bill in these businesses, right? There's rent, franchise fees, inventory, utilities costs, insurance, and so on and so on. When you talk about EVA as doing something is that sounds as dramatic as doubling the wage, you're often talking about maybe a 2-3% change in total costs, which is much smaller and I think comes within the range of the kinds of costs and issues that employers deal with and find a way to work around because they are innovative every day. But, you know, I just want to go back a little more to what people brought up and what you brought up about the social compact. Mm-hmm. I think what's distinctive about this campaign is that we're finally starting to look at the jobs that are here in America and that can't go anywhere. We've heard so much in electoral politics about job creation and needing jobs since about 2008, basically. And it remains focused kind of on manufacturing jobs. And what's problematic with that is manufacturers can always pick up and move. But if you're a retailer or a food service establishment, your block is your market. You can't move to the middle of a cornfield to cut costs. These are the jobs that need to be here. And I think what's interesting is that as we bemoan the loss of manufacturing jobs because they paid so well, you know, the news that manufacturing jobs pay well would be a bulletin from another planet to somebody working in a mill in the 1910s or 1920s. Those were good jobs because they were made good jobs through unionization, vigorous workplace enforcement, minimum wage laws, and a bigger social bargain.
In that context, and then we'll be out of time, can we realistically expect service industry jobs to be the engine for the middle class in the same way that those eventually unionized auto manufacturing jobs, steel manufacturing jobs, so many, helped build the middle class in the middle 20th century?
That's a provocative question. I don't think that has to be the goal for this to be worthwhile. We're talking about a massive portion of the workforce. And before we talk about a very lofty goal of a new middle class and these very big, ambitious questions, mm-hmm. there's a simpler reality that this is the growing segment of the labor market. We have, I think three million plus people employed in fast food. They can't get enough hours. They can't get enough pay. You can upgrade these jobs in place without causing significant job loss, and I think that would trigger a different structure to our economy and our labor market, and I think it would certainly mitigate some of these horrific inequalities we're seeing, especially in cities like New York.
So, Michael Fletcher, last word. Can today's strike, however widespread it turns out to be in New York and elsewhere, actually have an impact? 30 seconds.
Yeah, I think so, and I think it'll be incremental, but I would expect we'll see more of these kinds of strikes going forward, and you're going to see kind of a rising level of awareness. And I think the big question is, you know, what's inherent about these jobs that makes them low wage? It's kind of our notion of the job, and that has to change, I think, the organizers would say.
Michael Fletcher, Washington Post correspondent, and Mark Dusard, professor at the University of Illinois and author of the new book, Degraded Work. Thank you very much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
And thanks to our callers with various relationships with this issue. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, we'll get the latest on the unfolding drama over whether there will be military action in Syria. The House of Commons in the British Parliament is hearing a presentation of evidence at this hour. We'll see what we can discern from what's there. We'll listen to what President Obama said yesterday provocatively about evidence and take it from there. And Senator Richard Blumenthal from Connecticut will join us today. We'll ask him whether the president needs to go through Congress before he does anything. Stay with us.